Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 304th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Summers. I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend who is coming to you. I don't know how close he is to Hoffman Estates, but I know he's pretty damn close to Hoffman Estates at the moment right now. But it's my good buddy and friend, my co-host, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr., my man. How are you doing?
The White Castle I went to was in Hoffman Estates, but I
there
am
you go.
Four Point Sheridan in Schaumburg. Which, I mean, they're
so the,
basically...
So the StarCast Hotel.
The Hyatt, it was the StarCast Hotel.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm staying at the Marriott because I had the rewards points to pay for, you know, to not pay for it. This is a free hotel.
Correct, yes, yes.
So, yeah, so I'm excited for that. I was excited for that. But, yes, I am live with White Castles in my belly. The first place I stopped, shout out to my girl Christine for picking me up from the airport, taking me to get the White Castle, then bringing me to the room so I can get settled. And I have been settled. The flight was about the smoothest flight I ever been on. Guess, okay, sports personality set in front of me. University of Green, University of, was it Wisconsin, Green Bay, Milwaukee? I don't know. Doug Gottlieb was on the flight with me, sitting right in front
really?
Of me. Yes, Doug Gottlieb and his kids were on the flight in front of me. They were coming from Oklahoma. If you know, Doug Gottlieb went to Oklahoma State. I believe his wife is from Oklahoma, so maybe they were with their family. I didn't talk to him much other than, and it was funny, because he's wearing the shirt. He's wearing the team stuff, and I don't recognize him. I can't place him. I was like, and then he talked to the flight attendant to get his kid moved up to first class. And he, dude, he sounded like every white guy ever. I am American something award, commandeer award level 2. So he had to say that first. I want to get my kid up to this seat. And I was just like, oh God, this dude sounds like a douche. But I have been listening to him. I have been listening to him on the radio and TV for the better part of my life. So I recognized him by his voice, not by his face. I was like, are you Doug Gottlieb? And he's like, yep. And I was like, oh, dude, I fucking loved you, you know, ESPNR radio. And I mean, I loved you. And he was like, thanks, you know. And it was like, he wasn't trying to hide it. He's the head coach of this team. He's in head-to-toe gear, green. It wasn't like,
right,
it was like, please don't recognize who I am, you know. But he did the thing. I am Admiral Club level 2 or whatever the fuck it was. And I was just like, oh my God, this is, I don't know what a Guy Karen is called, but that's what it felt like there. And like I said, it wasn't like a contentious situation, but he started the conversation with it. You know what I mean? Like, I need you to know who I am. Yeah. Doug Gottlieb, yeah. Everybody.
big presence in ESPN through the like 2000s. Dude. I think he did stuff with Colin Cowherd and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm old, so I actually watched him play in college, point guard for Oklahoma State. He is what you would call the traditional point guard. He would have like 2 points and 17 assists. He couldn't shoot. He was like the worst shooting small guy ever. It's like, I'm going to say it. He was white and couldn't shoot. That was so weird. That was the thing for the white people. You got to know how to shoot. And he couldn't shoot. And it was interesting for him to be on the flight. That was cool. The flight was super smooth. I watched this show on Apple TV called, Strike? Stick. It's about golf. It's about golf. It actually was so funny. I think I might go get me like a month of Apple and try to, because there's a few shows I've heard about, Severance and all that stuff. So I think I'm about getting a month of Apple and just binge watching as much as shit as I can, and then canceling the service.
I would say Severance is definitely on my list. I keep hearing everybody talk about it. So
yeah. It was actually really smooth flight. Christine picked me up. I was in the wrong place, but she still managed to find me. She took me to White Castle's. So I'm good because I'm like stuffed with double cheeseburgers right now.
Yeah.
So, if you can't tell, I'm a little relaxed. I'm ready to talk about some wrestling.
Damn right. Because first of all, I want to say, because we're recording this the night after Christmas, but Merry Christmas to everybody. Hope you had an amazing holiday. If you didn't celebrate it, happy holidays. And, whatever you celebrate, we hope you guys are enjoying your holiday week and everything like that. It was very chill. I just came off of a very busy day. Me and Floyd are just here. We're going to make this quick little episode. Obviously, we're not going to touch on Dynamite and Collision since it was pre-taped basically a full week ago now at this point. So at this point, almost everybody knows about it, and we're going into World's End, which when you guys are hearing this is tonight. So we want to make sure we preview everything about World's End as our focus. So this will be a kind of a more shortened episode of us just previewing the pay-per-view and everything like that, and obviously all that kind of stuff. So we're just going to kind of get through all that and then make sure you guys are all prepared and ready to go for World's End tonight. Now, before we get into all that, real quick, just got to do the Shield stuff. Download this fine show if you guys enjoy it. We really appreciate those downloads, whether you listen to us on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Just turn automatic downloads on. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe. And then if you enjoy the show, you can also follow us on social media. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. You can also follow at Social Suplex. They're the reason this show exists. Shouts out to all the other guys and girls who do podcasts with Social Suplex. You guys are amazing. Check out all the other shows they got on their network. I am at Austin Sumwitz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And as a reminder, be sure to sign up for the Social Suplex newsletter. Link is in the description of this show. Don't really got much news of the week other than Merry Christmas. I would love to know, Floyd, how your Christmas was first before we get into the World's End preview.
Actually, I would call this the most low-key Christmas ever. For us, it was me, my wife, her sister, and her fiance. So my wife is a twin. So she unfortunately lost her other sister last year. So this is kind of their first Christmas without their sister. So they wanted to spend time together. So they did. She brought her fiance, and I work Christmas night. I mean, like Christmas Eve into Christmas. So I got us a prime rib. I cooked us prime rib. They did the sides. We had a really good meal, spent time together, laughed, talked about that. I had this question, and I'll ask Austin now as I tell mine. I was like, what was the Christmas gift? And I feel like I already know your answer. What was the Christmas gift you really, really wanted when you were young, but for whatever reason, your parents weren't able to get you? For me, and this proves that fucking phones are listening to you, it was the Technodrome. I was a big fan of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Uh-huh. And, you know, I had, you know, the four turtles, and they had the play sets. They had the Technodrome, and then later they had the van. I never really wanted the van. I wanted the Technodrome play set. And I think it was like $50. And think about this. I'm like eight or nine. So it's like 1989, 1990, whatever Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was hot. I might even been a little older. So this thing was like $50. So if you think about it, $50 is like a Nintendo was only 100. You know what I mean? Yep. So this was a lot of money, and we never got out. I got the four Ninja Turtles, and I think I got Shredder, but I never got my Technodrome. And it was like, so it was funny because then I saw on Instagram this post that I sent to JR, and it says, it's 34 years. Well, come on, Floyd. You just, I literally just had it. I pulled it up for this and somehow exited out of it while I was trying to make my point. It says, this is my year marks 34 years since I didn't get the Technodrome for Christmas. And I was like, yes, you read my mind. 34 years I didn't get the Technodrome for Christmas. And I mean, it was expensive. It was an expensive toy. It was like, you know, you got your $300 Legos and stuff. In essence, it was like a really expensive Lego set because it came in pieces. You had to put it together or whatever. But, my wishes and dreams. So I ask you, sir, toy that you wanted when you were young, and for whatever reason, you didn't get it.
I would remember that I specifically really, when I was a kid, like, because that's the thing is, like, I'm very fortunate that, like, as a kid, a lot of the times, like, if I didn't get something, Sydney might have gotten it or whatnot, like, or, like, if I didn't get it on Christmas, it would eventually come on my birthday, too, is a lot of things. Like, I was very fortunate in that instance. Though, when I hit, like, middle school, there was definitely a big part of me that wanted a replica championship belt, and just every year, never got it, until eventually I was just like, fuck it, and like 2 years ago I bought my own. Like, when I bought the AEW world title replica, I was like, you know what, fuck it, I've been to enough goddamn shows, I have never gotten a replica belt, I want a replica belt, and we're just gonna get this one right here. So
and then you have the WWE CM Punk replica belt.
That one was that was the biggest impulse buy of impulse buys, and I'm very glad I pulled that off too. I have looked at the ones that they've got on, like, the team-specific ones. I just wish they looked better. Like, I know they have those team-specific belts and stuff like that.
And I even said this before. If someone asked me, where are you going to get a Chiefs one? I was like, no. Why? Because they all have this generic thing.
Yep.
It's not specific to the team. Like, with the Chiefs, I want, like, it to say Chiefs Kingdom, have the years mm-hmm. we won the title, you know, maybe have 15, 58, you know, the big numbers of the people. I want it to scream Kansas City. But no, it's just the copy and paste gimmick that they do for all of them. So that's why I've never bought one, you know.
And the only one that I liked that was specific for Detroit was that I enjoyed the Tigers one, the one that Kevin Owens actually had that he was carrying around on Raw at one point. That one at least has like the 1901 on the like top area of it, and it's got the old, like, it's got the just straight Tiger logo and then the old English D on the side. That one at least looks better, but other than that, they all look generic. Like, the Red Wings one sucks, the Pistons one's not great, the Lions one sucks. Like they need, they, like, when you make the ones that are like team specific, it feels like they do it better with the college teams than they do the actual pro teams, which makes no goddamn sense.
Dude, Fanatics is doing what Fanatics do. The biggest swing and a miss that I had to me that Fanatics did is the Chiefs won their second Super Bowl. And I swear to you, I was waiting. Like, I had all the stuff I wanted to buy, but I told Crystal that I am going to buy the Kansas City Chiefs back-to-back title belt. They never made one.
Yeah.
I wanted to say
they had that. They had the one Super Bowl belt.
Yeah, and then they had the next Super Bowl belt. But I wanted the back-to-back. Because that's such a rare thing to do in sports, mm-hmm. is go back-to-back. So I figured it was going to say, because I have back-to-back shirts, back-to-back, you know, socks, banners, all that stuff. So I figured a belt would have the shield when it says back-to-back on it. Two-time. And I was going to buy the shit out of that and wear it everywhere. Yep. I said I was going to wear it to Walmart. I didn't give a fuck. I was like, I'm going to wear this thing everywhere. And yeah, never. They never did it.
Nope. But yeah, no. I definitely would say, though, the title belt was the one that I, when I was in, like, middle school, was the one that I always was like, oh, maybe, and then, nope.
New Year's challenge to everyone that listens to this show, if you own a replica belt, wear it to Walmart just to do your regular grocery shopping, and like, completely no-sell it. Like, you have it on, right? But just no-sell it. Like, don't be, like, walking around, like, get your chest out like I got a belt. Like, just walk around, like, you know, just you're doing your grocery shopping, and you have to have a belt on. And then see how many people, see if anyone says anything to you about having the belt on.
If y'all do that, like, let us know how that goes, if y'all do that. Yeah, I would love to hear your stories.
It would be funny, because I just say you have this belt, and I even said they are however many pounds they weigh paperweights. Because you literally put them in a spot and they just kind of sit there. Right, wear your belt to Walmart. Wear your belt to the movies. Just, you know, just wear your belt at random ass places and take pictures and send them to @ATElitePod on Twitter. I'll post and share them, all that stuff. Because it'd be hilarious. Why not?
Yeah, for sure. Well, on that note, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get into World's End, our previews and everything like that. Before we touch on that specifically, the Continental Classic group stage fully wrapped this week on Dynamite and Collision. So the stage is set for our semifinal matches that will be taking place on World's End, because we have the Blue League and the Gold League semifinal. Beforehand, we're just going to quickly run down the final stats from the group stages. First, we'll go ahead and look towards the Blue League, where it was pretty cut and dry in terms of the top two, for the most part. Konosuke Takeshita did not lose. He was 4-0-1, only one time limit draw,
Claudio,
and he finished with
my life.
13 points. Yeah, I know. But still undefeated. Still didn't take a pinfall or a submission in group play. So Konosuke Takeshita, top of the Blue League, top of the entire CC with 13 points. John Moxley finished second with a 3-2 record and 9 points. Claudio Castagnoli, 2-2-1 with 7 points. Orange Cassidy, 2-3 with 6 points. Mascara Dorada, 6 points as well with a 2-3 record. Roderick Strong, 1-4 record with 3. This was the big thing. We did not have a single wrestler finish with 0 points. At least one wrestler got a win in every match. In each side. At least one wrestler got a win. We did not have somebody finish with 0.
That is dope. I like it. It's
the first time it hasn't happened, yeah.
If you do 0, it should be a storyline leading into the next year of the Classic.
I agree.
If you ever get 0, it should be leading into you trying to redeem yourself the next year.
Or it should have just been Jack Perry to finish with 0, but no, they wanted to have him win matches for whatever fucking reason. Moving over, speaking of which, to the Gold League, this league was literally tied. Everyone, I think, had 6 points going into the final week, which is kind of fucking crazy. Kyle Fletcher and Kazuchika Okada tied at the top of the Gold League with 9 points and a 3-2 record, so they moved on to the semifinals. Kevin Knight just missing with a 2-2-1 record and 7 points. He had a time limit draw against Pac on Collision, which was damn good as well. There were some damn good spots in that match, too. If people missed that on Collision, they should go back and watch that. But Pac and Kevin Knight finished with 7 points with a 2-2-1 record. Jack Perry finishing with a 2-2 record with 6 points, filling in for Darby Allin, who was out with injury. And then Speedball Mike Bailey, also with a 2-2 record, finished with 6 points. So did this kind of shape out how you thought it would, Floyd, in terms of just the final standings?
I will say this. If you listen to the show, you know, I did my previews and predictions for the Continental Classic, and I said Konosuke Kadeshiko was not going to lose. I was like, the IWGP champion wasn't going to lose.
I was going to say, I said he was going to, I think I said he was going to finish top of the Blue League, but I didn't know if he was going to lose a match.
I just didn't think they were going to pin the IWGP champion, so I figured he wasn't going to lose. My prediction of the final four was Okada, Takeshita, Fletcher, and Mox. I actually went and listened to it. I picked the four. So, and I also picked who would be facing who. I said it would, I all year when I bought the tickets, I was like, it's going to be Takeshita and Okada in the finals. But when I did the predictions and my brain went, I was like, nope, it's going to be Takeshita and Okada in the semifinals, which it is. And then it's now, Fletcher and Mox. So, I got the four right. And I got the who they would be wrestling, right?
Yeah. So again, Floyd knows his shit. He had this shit locked and loaded basically from the start.
And it was funny because I was like, all the way up until I pressed record on the show, I'm gonna be real, it was Okada and Takeshita in the final. But as I was recording the show and talking through, for some reason a light bulb went off on me, and I was like, no, I don't think they're going to be in the final, because you'll hear later why I didn't think it made sense. So let's go.
All right. Yep. Let's get into this thing. So we're going to go ahead and go through World's End and the card, give our thoughts and everything. So quickly, we'll touch 0 Hour. We're going to have the Sisters of Sin, Julia Hart and Sky Blue, take on Kian and Maya World.
So Hyan and Maya World have been dressing alike and showing up to the show and all that stuff. I am going to call a weird upset for Maya World and Hyan to win, and then I think they get their AEW graphic. I think they get signed. I think Maya World and Hyan get signed to AEW.
I see.
Because they just lost Wednesday. It almost makes no sense for them to be on the 0 Hour against another team.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it doesn't seem right.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem right. I just don't know necessarily if, like, because, I mean, like, if Sisters of Sin lose this match specifically, like, I wonder if that affects the how they view their possibility of challenging for the tag titles in the future.
They've been jumping people. So the way I see it is that either Chris Statlander or Jamie Hayter comes down and, you know, interferes, and, you know, that's how they beat them.
Gotcha. So they get some help, and that's what leads to
the win and the graphic,
the victory
baby
for the two.
Yep.
All right. I will mix it up. I'll say Sisters of Sin just to switch things up, just because I feel like a lot of our predictions will mostly be the same, I feel like.
Yes, and just imagine, just to let you know, there's going to be at least two more pre-show matches probably announced before.
Oh, no doubt about it, yeah. They're not going to just have the one pre-show match. It's not. Do we know who we're talking about here with Tony Khan having just a single 0 Hour match? You really think he's going to do that?
No chance. Not at all.
Yep. Gabe Kidd versus Darby Allin. Motherfuckers just keep loving to throw Darby Allin down a flight of stairs.
Dude, Gabe Kidd is like, I call him Mini Mox, but he's kind of crazy in a different way. He was like, I was stuck in an asylum and, you know, people weren't listening to me. And it was just like, I dug his, you know, he did a promo and I completely dug it. And I think in a week since, you know, or maybe week, they've done amazing job of building up this kind of singles match on it. And they had the history because Darby has dragged Gabe Kidd in a car, and then Gabe Kidd set a table on fire for Darby to get thrown through, and then thrown him down a couple steps. Only thing that shocks me is that this right now is a regular match.
Yeah.
I figured.
I know, exactly. Darby Allin in a normal singles match.
Yeah, it feels like it's supposed to be like a last man standing or a street fight or something like that. But right now, it's just a regular singles match.
I'm very surprised about that. I wouldn't be surprised if Darby still tries to bend the rules a little bit and do some fucked up shit, just because I just don't know if he has it in himself to just, like, lock himself into just, you know, we're just going to wrestle.
They seem to be building Darby back up, so he is my pick to win.
I agree, just because I feel like, you know, coming out of the CC and missing the C2 and not being able to compete, little bit of a tough spot for him, you know, missing out on that. So build him back up, get him a good win over Gabe Kidd. I feel like it can just get him a little bit of momentum after he had to drop out of the C2.
Absolutely.
AEW World Tag Team Championship match, the Chicago Street Fight between the Bang Bang Gang, Austin Gunn, and Juice Robinson versus FTR.
No rules, no ropes. We're running it back. FTR beating up Austin Gunn and beating up Juice near his hometown. Oh, Juice, I don't think you know what you asked for. I'm glad your name is Juice, because you're going to get some juice tomorrow when FTR busts you open.
You know what podcast this is. This is an FTR podcast.
Yeah, and they're going to win.
They're just going to win. You know what? It's like you can cry about it all you want, but like that's just how it goes.
For some reason, I think that Dort Cope is going to try to get the rub again and attack FTR after the match.
Yeah. That would be such a good fucking image, dude. That'd be such a good image.
And dark.
Why the fuck is this called Mixed Nuts Mayhem? Why is this called Mixed Nuts? Like, TK, I need to have words with you.
Mixed Nuts Mayhem, baby. Yeah. It's got Tony Storm in it, so it has
I'm
to
aware.
Have, it
I'm
has
aware
to have
why it's called that.
Innuendo in it, you know?
I just did Orange Cassidy at one point say the name of the match?
No, because
I need Orange Cassidy to have a backstage interview where he's like, he has to say the name of the match that he's in, and he just says begrudgingly, "Mixed Nuts Mayhem."
Yes,
I need that in my soul. So yeah, it's the Death Riders, Claudio, Yuta, Daniel Garcia, and Marina Shafir versus Orange Cassidy, Roderick Strong, Mark Briscoe, and Tony Storm. So the conglomeration teaming up with Timeless Tony Storm. Feel like this has got to be a spot specifically for the Death Riders, just because I feel like it's got to keep building them up since they're eventually going to split them off from Moxley. So we need to continue to have them win, so that way that it makes it more reasonable why they would drop Moxley.
So they changed the graphic. On Wednesday, when I started my notes, it was Pac and not Daniel Garcia.
It's DG, yeah.
It's DG. So maybe Pac's on the pre-show. I don't know. When I look at this, I think the only reason for this match is for somebody to get a big win and pin Mark Briscoe so they can get a then TNT title shot. So I am calling Claudio to pin Mark Briscoe. And that signs him up for a future TNT title match.
Yeah. I would be down for that, because I want the TNT title to be, like, you know, put into a spot where, you know, go out and you pin the TNT title, you get a title match, you know? Because, when was the last, like, oh, God. I got to look this up now. When was the last time the TNT title was defended on pay-per-view?
When Briscoe beat Fletcher on pay-per-view for the title.
That's right, yeah.
That was it.
Gotcha, okay. Because I was curious, yeah.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Because so, Fletcher, yep, he won it at, well, no, Fletcher won in, because Fletcher beat, oh, yeah, Briscoe beat him at Full Gear. Yeah, that's what it was. So,
yeah. Correct.
Last favorite. So. Yeah. Because Fletcher won the belt when he won it on Collision in Chicago in correct. The street fight.
Against gotcha. Dustin, yeah.
Yep, gotcha. Okay, I was just curious. I was just like, all right. But I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to ride with the Death Riders. And you said, yeah, DG pins Briscoe to get a title
Claudio.
Shot.
I got Claudio.
Oh, Claudio. Sorry, Claudio, yeah.
And then maybe they either do a title for title match or two title, but I think it's going to be Claudio. And that's who's going to end up fighting Briscoe for the title.
Gotcha. What if Yuta did it? I don't think he will, but what if he did?
It could be Yuta. I'm sleeping on Yuta. I mean, Yuta has the most heat on the team. So him pinning Briscoe would get booed very aggressively, especially in the city of Chicago / Schaumburg / High Point States.
People would not be too keen about that, that's for sure. We have the two semifinals for the Continental Classic. Kyle Fletcher versus Jon Moxley, and Kazuchika Okada versus Kinosuke Takeshita. First of all, fucking finally. We both knew when this match was announced, the Okada-Takeshita match, you were going to be in attendance for this. We yes. knew this.
Yes, and I tell people, and it's like not a pat on the back, but it's kind of a victory lap. The balls that it takes to buy a plane ticket to an event, you're like, based on a one match that no one has said is going to happen. That's why I bought the ticket to this. I bought the ticket to this. When they announced World's End, I didn't buy a ticket to the show at the time. I just bought the plane ticket. And I was like, I'm buying a refundable ticket in case, you know, something weird happens. But the reason I'm being here, because the first time Takeshita and Okada wrestle, I need to be in the building. This is one of my, like, my most recent dream match. So I'm very excited that I took the gamble and I get to be here for it. It's gonna be a fucking banger, and they're gonna blitz each other, and I've been going back and forth all week over who I think's gonna win this match. I think, because this is to let you know my thought process, I said Takeshita wins, and I was like, if Takeshita wins, then he's just kind of better than Okada, and what does he really have to build to? And I was like, okay, Okada wins. And I was like, okay, that makes sense, because if Okada wins, then Takeshita has this even bigger chip on his shoulder because he finally got his hands on Okada and he wasn't able to beat him, whether it's cheating or whatever. So it can build out to a longer storyline. And then the other way, Okada loses to Takeshita. Okada's like pissed off because he knew Takeshita was better than him, and that's where he's at. So I've been going back and forth all week, even right now. I don't know what I'm about to say. I'm going to go with Takeshita. The reason I'm going to go with Takeshita is this will lead him at still undefeated in it. And I'm like, if your undefeated streak is going to end, I feel like the match to end it in is the finals. So I am saying right now, Takeshita is going to beat Okada. What do you think, sir?
I'm leaning more towards Okada cheating, specifically like maybe distract the referee, low blow shot or whatnot, and then get the pinfall win over Takeshita. Just because I feel like this is a very instance of like, you know, basically, you know, sensei versus pupil sort of thing. And I feel like this is kind of a spot where we're going to have multiple matches between these two, and I feel like Okada wins the first one just to be able to set the standard for Takeshita to try and work his way back to get that win. That being said, I saw somebody make a really good point, honestly, because it leads into the second semifinal match, but someone said, what if in this situation, We have a, because there obviously you can't do, there's no time limit draws in the semifinals, but what if you had like a straight up like double pinfall or double count out, specifically double pinfall, I think. And then you take those two, you throw them into the winner of the next semifinal match and do a triple threat.
Terrible. Terrible. I like my continental. I want my continental classic like I like my sex, one-on-one. Okay? I want the final to be one-v-one. Okay.
It was intriguing as well. I didn't say it was what I agreed with. But.
It's absolutely intriguing. And maybe 5-6 years down the line, maybe you do it as a one-off. But as I want my Continental Classic to be as pure as possible, I want it to be mono and mono. Who's the better man? John Moxley cut a fucking promo where he says it's all about who's better. And it's like, and I was like, dude. And he like Continental Classic was going on and he pumped me up more for the Continental Classic that was already going on because it was just like, this is the one time of the year. Like, okay, it's just who's fucking better. Like, take all the everything out of it. Who's better? I would not like the three-way. I mean, I wouldn't scoff at it or anything, but I would not like the three-way.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. It's a tournament. You want the tournament to be pure. I get that completely, yeah. But I'm going to still stick with my pick. I'm going to say Okada through some sort of cheating. I'm going to lean towards like a low blow, but I'm going to say Okada just realizes how good Takeshita is and decides, you know what? Fuck it. I'm keeping this thing one way or the other.
In the semifinal.
Fletcher and Moxley.
And the final act of Mox's sacrifice tour where he's been putting over everybody else, he puts over Kyle Fletcher. And the reason I say it is like Mox was like barely pulled out the match against Orange Cassidy because of his ankle. He's been tapping a lot to his foot, on his foot. Kyle Fletcher completely and viciously dominated Jack Perry's ankle. And I just think he's going to pretty much do the same to Mox. And unlike with Orange Cassidy where he got the roll up, he's not going to be able to do that. Kyle Fletcher's going to brain bust him on that top turnbuckle and get the 1-2-3 and go on to the finals. But Moxley, if somebody told me Moxley AEW Wrestler of the Year, I would be like, I don't know who else I would pick. I think Bandido's had an amazing year. Don't get me wrong. I think he's had an amazing year. And I think Takeshita's been great. I think a lot of people have been great. But I think the undisputed AEW Wrestler of the Year, in my opinion, just, man, believe me when we do our thing, I only get one vote, so my opinion matters just as much as everybody else. I think Jon Moxley is the AEW Wrestler of the Year right now.
I would lean towards agreeing with you if the first few months of the year where the Death Riders still had their grip over the world title wasn't like pulling teeth.
Dude,
I get where you're coming from and I understand it completely and I'm not going to fight you on it. That's what's holding him back from being my Wrestler of the Year. It would still be Bandido, maybe Hangman, like I feel like.
I'm not going to argue with you. I truly understand. I did not hate the first 6 months as much as everybody else did.
I understand you, and we talked about this before as it was happening.
Yeah.
But, like...
Yeah, I did not.
Yeah, I know you're firmly of the mindset of, like, the journey was it was needed for the journey to mean as much as it did.
Correct.
Like I know that's how you feel.
Yeah. So
and in regards to the semifinal match, I do agree with Moxley's sacrifice and him continuing to put people over and then the continuing divide between him and the Death Riders. Kyle Fletcher, big time win. In my instance it's Okada versus Fletcher, and I'm gonna go ahead and I'm going to go put my money on Mr. Kyle Fletcher.
And that was my original prediction. As the show had, I was like, Kyle Fletcher, I think the best book wrestler in AEW over the last year. His rise, the matches he's had, the losses that he's taken, the win he's had, has been the best book wrestler over the last year in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
And pay attention. Pay attention to his elevation, to when he finally beat Dustin, to his matches with Mark Briscoe, till he finally lost to Mark Briscoe. Why did he lose that TNT title at that point? It actually doesn't make any sense. It's like, oh, the top title picture is already locked in. Why would you do that? This is why. You're elevating Kyle Fletcher even more. Kyle Fletcher is going to be the only man to pin. He's going to be the only man to pin Konosuke Takeshita. Or he's going to be the guy that beats Okada in the final of a tournament. Either way, whichever one it goes, it is going
it's
to be
huge.
It's going to be the big scout that Kyle Fletcher, after finishing the semifinal last year, finishes his story and wins the C2 and the Continental title this year. And you will have this image on Dynamite of Konosuke Takeshita, the IWGP World Champion, Kazuchika Okada, AEW International Champion, and Kyle Fletcher, Continental Classic Champion. And like I said, I think he's going to beat Takeshita because he'll be able to say he'll be the only one of them to beat Okada and Takeshita. Good wrestling.
It's a damn good statement for a guy like Fletcher. He's another one too. Like honestly, that might be one of my wrestlers of the year. Honestly,
absolutely, yeah, absolutely. He is very consistent. I think the match in Australia with Will Ospreay was this year, right? So, and that was a strong match, and he's, you know, his Briscoe matches were super strong. Dustin Rhodes match was strong. I think he's kind of gone under the radar about how good of a year he's had as far as big matches.
Yeah, no, he is absolutely one of those guys that's just like, I know he won Breakout Star for Sports Illustrated's End of Year Wrestling Awards, so. Either that or Wrestler of the Year, whichever tickles your fancy.
Booking that you have a problem with in AEW, as far as and you're like, oh, Tony Khan doesn't book this right, doesn't book that right. Dude has been 100% stroke for stroke, stroke for genius when it comes to Kyle Fletcher, the proto star, has been booked perfectly. Yep. And I think it continues tonight.
Big time. AEW Women's World Tag Team Championship, the Babes of Wrath, Harley Cameron and Willow Nightingale versus Mercedes Moné and Athena. Harley Cameron pins Mercedes Moné. Book it now. I'm calling it my shot. We doing this shit.
Harley Cameron pins Mercedes Moné. I do think it's going to be after Mercedes pisses off Athena. And Athena hits her with the O face, and then Harley Cameron then pins Mercedes to set up an Athena versus Mercedes TBS title match.
I agree on that. Yeah. Like it's not like Harley's not going to just straight up beat Mercedes. I do think there's going to be a little bit of Mercedes and Athena button heads, and that allows the opportunity for, because that ties back into Harley's history with Mercedes, and then it builds up that rivalry with Mercedes and Athena, and then Willow can obviously just pounce whoever the fuck she wants, but the Babes of Wrath comes out on top, and I'm going to tell you right now, I will be losing my goddamn mind when it happens too, because
Babes of Wrath,
the idea of Harley winning the first ever women's tag team championships, and then just a couple weeks later the idea of her pinning Mercedes Moné, the TBS champion as well. Like, what a fucking month you've had, dude. Holy shit. Like, if that actually happens, which I think it might, like, God, I'm going to be so happy for her. Like, legitimately. Like, that's an insane few weeks of just, like, getting shit done. But there we go on that. We're going to go ahead into the Women's World Championship, Chris Statlander versus Jamie Hayter. Is it fair to say that these two world title matches may have the most, like, you know, up in the air, like where it goes specifically?
Yes.
I feel like this and the four-way are the two ones that I'm toughest on trying to predict.
Yeah, because the reason I say that this one's tough is because personally, just me, this is speaking as me. I'm not talking about the greater scheme of AEW. Neither one of these women do anything for me. Absolutely not. Just don't care at all. I'm going to go with Statlander, but if Jamie Hayter wins, eh. As long as we get Thekla challenging the next person, I'm happy.
Boom.
Because,
boom.
When you talk about Aura, Thekla has it all. And these awkward conversations between Jamie Hayter and Chris Statlander are that exactly awkward. I honestly have no feel on who's going to win. I just don't think it's time to take the belt off Stat, so I'm going with Stat as winning.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, like, Jamie, when she was a women's world champion, like, after Full Gear in 2022, like, I thought her run was solid, and it sucked that her run got cut kind of short because of the injury she was fighting through, and she gave it up. She lost it at Double or Nothing to Toni Storm. Fuck it. Like, again, I'm kind of like, I enjoy both of these girls, but like not nearly to the level of like some of the other women's talent on the roster. But just because I feel like she's in a spot where she could really use some of this, like, I'm going to go with Jamie. Just because I feel like there is at least something there. I do think there is a connection, like, with the audience. May not be as big as it used to be, but I think there is that connection that she has been slowly trying to rebuild over time since she's been out. And I think her winning the world title would be a genuine surprise. So I think it would be a cool moment. So I'll go with Jamie.
We'll move
into the main event, the AEW World Championship 4-Way, Swerve Strickland, Hangman and Page, MJF, and the current AEW World Champion, Samoa Joe. Ooh,
my big prediction is anybody but Seabiscuit. No, I'm totally kidding. On a narrative storytelling search away, MJF left and said he was going to come back more dangerous than he was. He then comes in and cashes in on the Fatal 4-Way, or in this 4-Way match, and he says it's to get revenge against Hangman. MJF is the villain. In my opinion, I'll say that because my humble opinion, he is the main character of AEW. He is Lex Luthor. And World's End, like a good villain story, is going to end with the ultimate villain, the top villain, becoming your new AEW World Heavyweight Champion, taking the title back at the show that he lost it. Let's go. He's our scumbag. MJF, because he's better than you, and you know it.
That is if I had to pick one that I was leaning more towards, I think it would have been either MJF or Samoa Joe. Ooh. I don't know why, but my gut's telling me he retains. I don't know why. I feel like the three guys that are facing him all have so much history that I feel like Joe could absolutely find himself in a spot where he could just capitalize on like them focusing in on themselves.
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like my gut is telling me Joe retains. If I was to pick who I think should win, I would probably go on your route with MJF just because I feel like it would just kickstart him back to the top and everything, and God knows MJF as world champion is money, but I've been loving Joe what he's been doing recently, so I'll stick with Joe. I'm probably going to be wrong on that, but my gut is telling me Samoa Joe.
I don't know if it was on Twitter, if it was on like an interview, MJF said something about being the first person joining a list of wrestlers to be two-time champions under the age of 30. That kind of stuff means something to MJF. It's in the history of wrestling. He turns 30 March 15th. When he said that, in my head, I went from mostly thinking it was going to be MJF to as certain as I can without absolutely knowing anything. I truly think it's going to be MJF.
All right. Well, again, I would be 1,000% totally fine with that. 1,000% fine with that.
Yep. And you know, you got, you know, Wembley, you know, in 8 months.
Yeah.
And you like to build up big villains for Wembley, and, you know.
Oh, sure. No doubt.
Dude. Yeah. If you got MJF and Ospreay and Wembley again, let's see what that happens there. You know, that would be kind of cool, or whatever they decide to do.
Oh, for sure.
But I do, in the comic books, Superman comic books, Lex Luthor becomes president. And then by the end, you know, of that thing, he's not president anymore. In this case, this is MJF, Lex Luthor becoming president. And they're, hopefully, if the storytelling's done right, somebody big's going to come and challenge it for him. And, you know, I think MJF wants that ball. And I think that's where the ball should be. I'm pretty open about my preference of him over Seabiscuit. But in this case, I mean, I'm very big on Swerve. If it's me booking, Swerve would win. And he'd Swerve stomp everybody and just win in the most definitive way you could win a Fatal 4-Way match. But I just don't think that's in the books for AEW right now.
There you go. That is our AEW World's End preview, guys. This card is going to be a lot of fun, I feel like. It's a great way to close out the year. That was honestly a real return to form for AEW. Like, this year in AEW, I think, has been one of their best in a very long time. So I'm excited to see how things shake out with this show before we head into 2026. And our boy Floyd will be live in attendance at the Now Arena in Hoffman Estates in Chicago, just outside of Chicago, to be able to see this in person. And I wish I was joining my man. I wish I was there with him. But you know what? He's going to have an amazing time. I know that for sure.
Yeah, I was in at All Out when MJF beat Moxley and became champion. It's only appropriate that I be at this show, World's End, where I unfortunately wasn't able to be at that World's End where he lost it. See, MJF can't win titles without me, okay? I will be there to support my guy Max as he takes his top of the throne of AEW, the main character with the main belt. Oh, God, I love it. I love how that sounds.
Yeah, it's gonna be damn fun.
Yeah, shout out to my boy Chris Reigns, dude. I've shouted him out on the show before, but it was like I've never had it where I'm like, oh, I'm going to Chicago. Oh, I'll meet you there. Like, no hesitation. That's what I need in life. No hesitation. He's like, I'm there. That's how you my nigga right there. Okay.
You.
Okay.
Yeah, you just pull the trigger regardless. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No,
like,
wait,
I'm
not
there.
Just do it.
He's like, yeah, I'm there. If you're there, I'm there. And I was just like, that's my boy. And I'm like, I have it's collected a great amount of amazing friends. But man, when he did that, I was like, okay. I'm like, if there's a Floyd power pole, he moved up a few spots on the power pole with that one. I'm like, I was taken aback at how quick. He, like, all right, cool.
So
I'm very, very excited about that. We're going to be up in a suite, so you will not see me on TV. And it's funny, because first All Out, I was in the first row. All In, I was in the 100th. I've pretty much, now with the suite, I've watched a match or a show from, like, every section of Now Arena.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
You know this building, front, inside out, front to back.
Correct. Yeah, I am very, I'm very familiar with Now. This will be my 7th show at the Now Arena.
So, crazy. Yeah. Absolutely crazy. Well, you're going to have an amazing time. I know that for sure. I know everyone is going to enjoy watching the show as well. So guys, we hope that you guys enjoy, World's End tonight. And we appreciate you guys coming in. That's going to wrap things up for this episode of All Things Elite. Once again, kind of going a little bit quick on things, just previewing the pay-per-view before you guys get to watch it tonight. So we really hope you guys are going to enjoy the show. And we hope you're enjoying the podcast as well. We appreciate your guys' support. If you enjoy the pod, share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe, turn automatic downloads on, and download this fine show, whether you listen to us on YouTube Music or Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on. And be sure to follow us on Twitter. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter, and we are at a Social Suplex Podcast. So support all the other shows that Social Suplex have. Follow them on Twitter at Social Suplex, and check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And sign up for the Social Suplex newsletter. Link is in the description of the show. Once again, happy holidays to everybody. Hope you had a great holiday week. Hope you had a great Christmas. Hope you had a great whatever you celebrate. And hope you have a great world's end tonight. So I'm going to pass it off to my buddy Floyd before he takes us home on this episode of All Things Elite. Happy New Year, guys.
Yes, and I just want to say, make sure you're checking in with Keeping the Strong Style on their Twitter as we're heading towards Wrestle Kingdom. If you want the best preview of Wrestle Kingdom from people that are going to be in the building, make sure you're checking out Keeping the Strong Style. They also have a shirt because there's kind of a summit from all the New Japan, all the major New Japan podcasts out there. So there's a shirt out there. I will be at that meetup. So if you want to meet me, I'll be at the meetup with my boy JR and my boy Dan. So I'm excited to meet everyone there that'll be able to make it. I head out to Tokyo a week from yesterday. So that'll be great. Just wanted to get that out there. Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope you spent time with your friends, family, loved ones. If you're a person that rather be alone, I hope you got all the alone time you wanted to. If you was a person that don't care about the day and you just wanted to sleep away, I hope you slept today. Whatever you wanted, whatever you do with December 25th, whether it is a holiday to you, whether it was just another Thursday, whether it was anything, I hope you got exactly what you wanted, because that's what we are. There was only one December 25th, 2025. I hope it was everything you wanted in that day. So happy holidays to all. Make sure as we close out the year, you'll see a lot of reminiscing on All Things Elite as far as the Twitter page about the pictures I've taken. You'll see them on my page. And, you know, I usually do this as we recap the year. And I just want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you. This will be our last show of this year, probably. I mean, maybe we think we'll get a review in. But whatever. This will be either our last show or second last of this year. I just want to thank Austin for another amazing strong year. Thank JR for guesting when I need him to. Thank Sir Sam for doing the AEW at Match Guide. Thank you, Imp for the week in AEW recap that he does in 30 minutes. One Nation Radio, all the people, Tunnel Talk, Trish and Sarah Podcast, we all cover AEW. I do not think there is a podcast network with a comprehensive coverage of everything that is All Things Elite, everything that is AEW, than there is in the Social Suplex. So make sure you are supporting the shows. Make sure you're taking care of your family, your friends, and most importantly, make sure you can take care of yourself, because if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of others. And I will leave you how I always leave you, whether it's home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
Hey, hockey fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.